What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome back, goddamn, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I'm your host, Manacom, and Cosmic. Say that whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And today, by on the side of me, we have the yoga one herself. You have been on a deep yoga kick lately. Nikosha.
Yes.
How's it going?
Yes, it's going great.
Oh, good.
It's going amazing.
Good. We are here. We've made it.
We have made it.
We've made the day at the Pulse. We're back again. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I point out the places that I'm usually at, and this is fun though. It is a learning experience, a journey, and you know the headphones actually helps keep all of the outside just
noise. Yeah.
Yeah, which is very it's helpful. It's helpful. Mm-hmm. It helps me drown things out and actually focus on what's happening. And, you know, I have to focus on everything at the moment, especially this guy right here, because this guy is running on the batteries. And I don't want it to. It's supposed to be running on this thing.
Okay.
But it's fine.
Okay.
It's okay.
It's
yeah, we're yeah. still good. We're still yeah. good. You know, yes. trials and errors,
yes.
apparently. So, how you been?
I've been good.
Good, 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 good.
Yes.
Yes. What is the reason for the yoga challenge that you're going through?
So it was a yoga challenge with Black Swan Yoga.
Mm.
30 days of yoga. It was only for January, so
yeah.
you have to take 30 classes in the month of January
yeah.
to get a free month of membership. Unlimited classes.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
wow.
So that was like, that's like the external reason, right?
Yeah.
Internally, I just felt like I needed to get back to prioritizing my health and well-being,
yeah.
like my needs and my joy.
Yeah.
Practicing yoga is, I don't know, it makes me feel so good.
And yeah.
Like when I get a good flow in, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to take on the day.
Yeah. I've spitefully, I did power yoga
mm-hmm.
just for the fact that my ex, she was into yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is this? Like,
not
you
spitefully.
Know, yeah, just because, you know, like when you tell a Black person about therapy or something like that, they turn their face up. But
yeah.
now I'm more into therapy now. But, you know, she was like, yoga. I was like, why are you always just stretching and posing on the floor and everything? I'm like, what is this about? What can this benefit? And then I looked into it and I was like, well, I'm going to step it up a little bit. And I went into the power yoga and I was like, oh, this is very beneficial. You know,
yeah.
me being in an older age, I'm like, oh, it makes me limber. You
mm-hmm.
know, it loosens me up.
Yep.
And also my mentality is not like, I need to do this to be better than you. It's just like,
right.
oh, this is soothing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
so,
do it to better yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know at the time. It was just something that I was like, why are you doing this? Like, are you doing this to, and I had no idea. Like, but now I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't stuck to it. I actually probably need to get into more stretching and whatnot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just because I've been taking my fish oil lately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which fish is. Oil. Man, that smell. I cannot.
You can't do it. Yeah. No, it's not for everybody. And that's why I do construction, because I don't normally have to be around other people
mm-hmm.
to where it's just like, oh, I smell you. I smell fishiness. And it's like, I feel you. That's my fish burps, because I've been having that fish oil lately.
Fish burps?
Yeah, them fish burps is, it's not what's up.
I can only imagine. Okay.
You definitely,
did you take your fish oil today?
I did not.
Okay.
Not today.
Okay.
No. And I'm very, I don't have the gas on me neither. See, the burps will not be here.
Okay.
Yeah. The wife has been putting me on collagen. So I've been, yeah.
Okay.
I've taken that once. This is a new endeavor for
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's because I have terrible joints from years of tumbling, because I was a cheerleader back then,
what?
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so. It's
yeah, them
like,
joints is feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't like to be able to feel my joints when I wake up and such.
Yeah,
but
that's not fun.
How is your upbringing?
My upbringing?
Yeah.
I feel like it was so many different phases. so I guess starting out, I grew up in Mo City.
Okay.
Live with my mom.
So you're born and raised in Texas?
Born and raised in Texas,
yeah.
Yes. And most cities like the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Is it? I don't know much about Texas.
Where are you from?
I'm from New Orleans.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hence why I was like, Kush. Yeah, I know about Kush.
Yeah, you said you're from Louisiana. Okay. Yeah. Well, my mom is from Louisiana. She's from Lafayette.
Oh, okay. That's exactly where my stepmom is from. Mm. Hence why cornbread milk is a necessity.
It's a delicacy.
Yes, it's so good. It's so good. Try that Kush, folks.
No, for real. Like, you would not be. You got to do it right, though.
You got to do
it
right.
Too much milk is not going to be right.
No, right.
More cornbread
than milk. The good consistency of mm-hmm. cornbread to milk with some sugar on top.
Woo! Look. Woo. So I stopped using, like, white sugar. I use agave now.
Okay.
So I sprinkle a little agave or honey.
Yeah.
I put some honey on top of it and then just, like, chop it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then for my cornbread, I put cinnamon in the mix. Ooh. And it just makes it.
Okay. Changing the game.
Yeah,
now.
Just a little bit.
Changing the game. What kind of cornbread are you using? Is it Jiffy? Of course it's Jiffy. Of course it's Jiffy. Yes. You know, it would be no other.
What else is there? I mean, they do have other types of cornbread that I tried. That's pretty good, but Jiffy is like the go-to.
That's Jiffy. You can't do better than that Jiffy.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. yeah, okay. So my upbringing. I grew up in Mo City. Well, mm-hmm. Mo City by way of South Park.
Right.
Or South Park by way of Mo City, however you say it. My dad stayed in South Park. My mom stayed in Mo City. For the most part. And mm-hmm. so I think it was just me and my sister. So I have five siblings.
Okay.
Total.
Oh, big family. You had to count.
But it's six including me.
Okay.
But for my mom, it's just me and my older sister.
Yeah.
And then from my dad, it's me. I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
And then I have four siblings on my dad's side.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was definitely a life-changing experience.
That's a fun reunion right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So I got the best of both worlds. I was the youngest for like 10 years, and then I became the oldest.
Wow.
Everything happened very quickly.
Yeah.
I call them the 10 years later clan because I did not see them coming. And yeah, it was just so, you know, going from the spoiled child that gets everything she wants to like now you have to kind of sacrifice because you got to take care of these children. And,
yes.
It's been a lot of healing surrounding that. because, well, hello, was I not enough?
Hence the yoga.
I stayed with my mom majority of my life until senior years when I moved with my dad. I feel like that's when life started getting real for me. When I was 16. Like, I started being like, oh, okay, so it's just not about me. Okay.
Right.
But also, that's my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with my dad and then started taking care of the children or helping him with the children.
Yeah. I've had to do the same. I mm-hmm. potty trained my niece and my nephew just because my brother was usually out working and you usually freeloading at his house. And so it's just like, I guess we'll take care of the kids while you go make the money, bro.
Right.
And teamwork.
So
teamwork makes the dream work. And it is very helpful. I definitely need teamwork at this house. Not saying that, you know, my wife needs probably more teamwork from me
mm-hmm.
than what she has going on by herself to say she's a new mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. That's a whole new
I ain't been there since the start of one. You know, these motherfuckers don't sleep. It's like, God damn. I mean, if they don't sleep, they whining, and it's like because you can't talk. All right, so this is you got to decipher what these whines are, mm-hmm. and it's like, all right, cool, do your thing, little man. Mm-hmm.
So, look, it strengthens your intuition, though, right?
Yeah.
Cause it's like,
yeah.
Okay, so I'm getting the frequency. You want food,
right?
Okay,
right.
I got you. Let's try that.
I've learned a few. There's different cries that they do,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not always there because I'm at work. So usually she comes home and she's like, "Oh, that's a I want to eat type of cry right there." I'm like, "Oh, okay, all right. Let me note that down in the memory bank so I know this for later, just in case I'm here by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I know what he needs, you know." Yeah. So most of the time, it's like I don't know. I don't know. It's a learning experience. It's a fun one. Yeah. He's adorable, which it just it saves a lot.
Yeah, right.
It saves a lot. It's like, all right, we got it. Come on. Come on in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fun upbringing. Fun upbringing. That's good. So what being the one in the house that you know, had to take care of, you had to be the bigger sister. You had to be the big sister at 16. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that bring you when it comes to poetry?
Where does that bring me when it comes to poetry? I think I started, I remember getting like my first random poem in my head. I think around 16, right before I moved with my dad. I had a little sleepover. My friend came, stayed over. And I don't know what we were doing the night before, but I woke up with like a poem about popping cherries.
Popping cherries.
Red cherry, popping cherries. Like, it was just and I swear I cannot remember.
The sexual act of popping cherries?
I don't think it was that. It may have been because I was a little fast back then. But
she had her sneakers on.
No, but it was definitely, I don't think it was like the sexual, like actual act, but it was a part of the poem.
Yeah.
That just came to me. I didn't write it down, but I realized like after that, more of my poems came from like heartbreak and like talking shit.
Yeah.
And, like,
you a shit talker?
I can't.
Your demeanor seems calm. It's probably because of the yoga, but I couldn't see you as a shit talker.
You know, I have to be pushed to that point.
Yeah, I feel you.
But no, I'm a naturally like calm and collected.
Yes.
That's the energy that I like to maintain. So yoga helps me to
stay centered,
stay grounded.
Right.
But also understand that we all have our moments.
Yes.
You know, like
yes,
I can't always refrain from expressing myself fully.
Right.
And sometimes some people ain't gonna like what I gotta say, even if I say it in the nicest way possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, this is just what it is.
This is the part of life.
This is
what you gotta
is.
Deal with sometimes. I have learned that over time, because it just wasn't overnight. Over time, that I probably need to just hold back my tongue and don't say much sometimes, because I pop off at the mouth easy. Mm-hmm. And me being a small man, it's not the best circumstances for me usually, you know, because I can get real mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the comic side that comes out. And I hurt people's feelings,
mm-hmm.
but also hurting people's feelings, you know, there's weight classes out there when it comes to getting into scuffles and everything.
Yes.
And I am on the bottom of the weight classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned that.
Pick your battles.
Yeah, definitely got to pick those battles. And sometimes I just don't say anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep it quiet.
Yeah.
It gets treacherous.
Mm.
Yeah, you see people get. I was watching Real World on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, he picked the wrong battle. It was the new season, Austin. You know, it was the Austin season on Real World. And one of the Abercrombie looking like 21-year-olds that they had in the house, he picked the wrong battle, apparently. He was very inebriated outside trying to go ahead and find the black guy. That's what it's like. Where's the black guy? And
no.
It's like the black guy is doing what the black guy is supposed to do. He's staying away from the situation.
Yes.
And they outside, and he apparently loses his footing because he's drunk. And he gets stole on side of his face. Cracks his little orbital right here. Yeah. Second day on the show.
Wait, loses his footing?
Yeah.
He fell into the fist?
No, he fell onto the ground. And that's when the other dude capitalized on him being on the ground and stole on him right there. Right there. Right in this little area. And cracked all that. Turned that around, basically. It flipped in his face.
That's why I'm fighting.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
That's why, like you
involved.
Was just saying, pick your battles.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, definitely. I don't want that to happen.
At all.
To me, you know. His daddy had to come and everything.
Aww.
I was like, wow.
So this, embarrassing.
The second day on the show.
Did he get exited off after
no.
that?
No.
He stayed the whole day?
Yeah. Oh. With a paper towel over his face because he was embarrassed. It was like, you're not going to be as pretty as you thought you was, Mr. Abercrombie.
Huh? Oh, wow.
Good. Oh, it was, I mean, it was, you saw it coming. Mm-hmm. You saw it coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, why are you trying to fight? And you drunk at the moment. Like, you looking for one dude, and these dudes don't give a hell. They don't give a fuck who you looking for. Like, why don't you just go about your business?
Please.
Yeah. And then, nah, it didn't go like that for him. So, yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah.
You got to be careful out here in these streets, mm-hmm. you know? So, what helps you write?
Being in silence, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You don't put no music on or nothing?
Not really.
Oh.
The music kind of takes me away from my own thoughts sometimes.
That's what I told somebody. Yeah. I was like, I can't. You know, I'm going to wind up. I got my ADHD will pop off, and it's like, hey, what about these dragons, though? I'm like, I'm not trying to talk about dragons right now.
At all.
Golly.
Like, so. I'm talking about, like, trying to maneuver through these emotions.
Yes.
And now you're adding to the emotions. And those not actually my emotions right now. Yeah. So let me just... I like to write in my car.
Somebody that understands me.
Yes.
Oh, you're a car writer.
I am a car writer.
Oh, I know a lot of people that write in their car.
Yeah.
It is like just the safe space of the dome mm-hmm. that you're in, knowing that nothing else, you're surrounded by the walls of the doors, mm-hmm. the metal, and it's very silent.
Yes.
It's very quiet.
Yes. Even if there's things going around, it's still like, it's just noise canceling. It doesn't matter. I'm zoned in.
Definitely.
And I'm just writing it out.
Going in it. Yeah. It's good to talk to other people that are like-minded, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to like a poetry community like that, just because you don't know what you like. Most of the things that I do, I'm thinking that I'm the only person that does do them, just because I'm a weird person myself. And so when other people was like, yeah, this is what I do, and it's like, oh, what? I'm not alone.
Yes.
Oh, it feels so good. It feels so good to have these conversations because they're much needed. Mm-hmm. But it also helps when you're out here dream chasing, trying to find out what you're going to do with your life mm-hmm. and how to go about it. And like, where do I go and how do I approach my situation? Like, where is a good place for me to write? Mm-hmm. Like, do I need to go on a mountaintop? Do I need to be on a hill or something like that? Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, man, you can find the sanctity of your vehicle. That'll be a great place to go ahead and write and just get those thoughts out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are you a big fan of meditation?
Meditation is also required. It's a necessity.
It's a necessity.
I actually, so when was that? Last year, mm-hmm. I visited this school called Maharishi International University,
mm-hmm.
and they're a consciousness-based education system, so they prioritize, like, meditation. Like, that's a requirement for everybody, faculty, staff, students. So it's this meditation technique called transcendental meditation.
Yes.
You've heard of it?
Yeah.
So I was required, and that was the one of the top reasons.
Did you go into this understanding that this was going to be a thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because that would have been something that just sprung it on you and be like, you got to do this. And it's like, hold on.
No, I was like, I looked up because I saw an ad on Instagram. It really happened really fast.
Yeah.
Because you know how you be in those moments of life, like, okay, I'm right here. But this is, something's not clicking. I need something more. So, you know, you say your prayers. You're like, I just need guidance because I feel like I'm kind of mm-hmm. stagnant and da da da. So then I go on social media, and then an ad pops up about consciousness and human potential master's program. And I'm like,
what? That's right up my
interested.
Alley.
So I click and I'll go through. Of course, to get a master's, you have to get a bachelor's. I only have my associate's, so I'll go look at the bachelor's programs, and I'm like, okay, creative arts. They have what were the other things? I can't remember specifically, but they had very unique degree plans that really mm-hmm. spoke to me. And I was like, this feels good. So I saw they had a visitor's weekend coming up. And I'm the type of person that if I'm going to figure something out, I like to immerse myself into the experience.
Definitely dive in.
Yeah, so they had an option for a one-day visitor thing and then a three-day visitor's weekend. And I was like, of course I'm going to do the three-day.
Yeah.
So it was like within less than a month, I had to plan and decide and actually go forward with just going up there.
Yeah.
So
where was it?
In Iowa, Fairfield, Iowa.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
You had to actually travel.
Yeah.
Whoa.
My first time in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I drove. It was a good, like,
Okay, you drove
to 14
Iowa?
Hours? Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it was.
All right.
Look, when I get an urge to do something,
yeah,
and I feel like this is like in alignment with what my spirit is needing in this moment, I'm just gonna go for
Talk
it.
About go getting. Yeah. Go get her right there.
I'm
yeah.
Go for it. So.
I feel you though. I this is coming from a person that drove to California because I was like, yeah, this is how I'm gonna change my life. I'm gonna be I'm gonna be a world known comedian because I'm going to the Mecca, and I drove to California with just a car full of my things, and that didn't go like I wanted it to at all.
But the experience, right?
All the experience is amazing. Yeah, oh, it was a fun journey. Yeah, a long journey, but a fun journey nonetheless.
Wait, where did you drive from?
I drove from New Orleans, and I came to Texas, and then I left from here, and then I drove to California.
Mm.
Yeah,
by yourself?
Yes.
How long was that drive?
24 hours.
Huh. Yeah. How was that?
Oh, I was with my thoughts for quite some time. You know, I had no job planned up or nothing when I got there. You know, I had a friend that was just like, hey, man, I'm going to help you out. And he paid for an Airbnb for me for 2 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on, friend.
Blessings.
Yes.
Right?
Let's go.
Oh, it was such a blessing. Shout out to Jay Costin. And he, as soon as I got up there, It was a total 180 to compare to how I was living in New Orleans. Because usually I'm a loner. I was able to, if I was staying with somebody, it was somebody I knew personally. It was either my brother or a good friend of mine. Right? So when I got up there, there was none of that. Mm-hmm. I knew nobody in California. I don't even got family out in California. Man. So when I got out there, I moved in with this Russian sisters. You think it would sound like the greatest porn ever. It wasn't. It wasn't at all. Usually in my head, that's kind of
the Russian sisters.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like in my head. It's like, that sounds like a beginning of a porn. It's not. They had a cat that I had to acknowledge, and I'm allergic to cats.
No.
Yeah, I found that out when I got there. That motherfucking cat was sleeping on my pillow and shit.
No. That's terrible. Why I don't mess with cats. Because they have no boundaries.
Oh, they don't.
But they
slept in my clothes. I was like, yo,
and
man.
And you were allergic? Well, you found out that you were allergic because he was all up in your
face. Yeah. I was like, why my eye itching? Yeah. Oh. Because I'm allergic to cats. Yeah, I had to acknowledge the cats. They didn't talk to me. I mean, they spoke English, but not around me.
It was multiple cats.
Yeah, they had more than one cat, but the cat that was like gravitated towards me, I have this energy to where animals love me, you know, I don't care for that, but that's kind of how it happens.
Yes.
So it's just like, you know, and then the cat's here, and then the cat be on my pillow when I get home, and I'm like, why is my door open?
But, you know, the cat opening the door.
Yeah.
Wow.
This ain't my house, so it was, I definitely had to, I had to really... There was just things that I had to kind of woo-saw out of the way. And I'm like, well, this is because I'm chasing the dream. You know, Steve Harvey said he slept in his car. Apparently, from Cat Williams, he did not. Mm. He was not poor at all. Mm. We know this now, you know? So,
it's like, it would have been nice. Inspired by lies.
Yeah. It'd have been nice to have found out the lie back then.
Right.
But nah.
So no, that's not.
That is, nope.
I mean, you can do it, but that's not what he did.
That's not what he did. Now he did it all. I could have had a better situation. No, I couldn't have had a better situation than that.
No.
I'm glad that that was, but I was going up there with the mindset that, yeah, if I got to sleep in my car, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. That's what this nigga did, and he didn't. But, you know, that's the mindset I had. And, I got a job within the first 2 weeks doing electrical.
Okay.
And, yeah, that... I mean, it paid for shit, but, you know, out in California, things are so expensive. That just paid for me to be able to eat and sleep. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Not actually go out and chase the dream that I wanted to.
Right,
you know,
right.
You need a whole system of family or just friends that you know out there. Mm-hmm. I've made friends, but, you know, people in California, not people like from New Orleans, because people in New Orleans, they it's that Southern hospitality.
Yes.
Out in the West. You don't have any hospitality out there. People don't say good morning.
Really?
People don't give. Yeah, because the weather's nice. They don't give a fuck about you at all. Yeah.
I thought that would inspire, like.
Yeah. I remember holding the door for somebody one day, and they just kept talking on their phone. They didn't even acknowledge that I held the door for them.
That's so.
I was like, this is different. this is different. You ain't see me?
No, for real.
You just realized what you thought the door was transparent? You walked through it?
Look, when people do that, I'm like, oh, you're welcome. I'm just talking to myself at this point. Cause, oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
I closed and I had to look at, I had to assess myself for a second. I'm like, nigga, what you doing out here?
Look.
This ain't me at all. Like, you want to go hurt that person, don't you? I'm like, yeah.
Cause I just held this door open. You ain't say nothing at all.
And I was like,
ain't a nod, a head nod.
This is what it is. Nah, kept talking on the phone, pretending like I wasn't even there. This is like, this is just what happens. I'm like, oh, these people are entitled out here. I don't know what you think you're entitled to, but you and your Lululemon can fucking kick rocks. God damn it! It was a rude awakening. And the people that the certain people that I made friends with out there, you know, they're friends to an extent. Mm-hmm. They're friends to an extent that helps them, or that you know, it doesn't help 100%, basically. You know, they'll be there 85, 75%, you know. But when it comes to like, hey, man, you get your hands dirty for me, you know, they're like, oh, no, nigga,
hands
I can't.
Dirty?
Yeah. What? You got sanitizer? Like, I'm going to be able to wash this off afterwards?
Right.
Nah, I can watch you, though. I'm like, damn. Yeah. All right, I feel that. So, it's just, I've never been anywhere else besides New Orleans and Texas. So, going out to California by myself and learning new experiences and putting myself in the fray of things, it was very, very eye-opening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. I've learned. So you just drove to Iowa.
I did.
You ain't never been to Iowa.
Never been to the Midwest. Oh. Never been past, or is it Arkansas?
Whoa.
And now I think I went to Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Or Little Rock around that area. But yeah, that was the furthest. And I went to Oklahoma, like right outside of Texas to the casino. But yeah, that was my first far drive up west. I did another drive to Sedona, Arizona.
Yeah.
And that was I think that drive helped me to know during that time that I was able to make the drive alone, and I'll be fine.
Right.
So it was an experience. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
How long were you out there for?
4 days.
Okay.
So I left on a Tuesday evening. Got there maybe it was a Wednesday. Because it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I stayed an extra day. So, yeah, Wednesday. I left Wednesday evening, got there Thursday afternoon, and then stayed and came back Sunday afternoon.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So how was it when you were out there? Like, how was Iowa itself? Did you go explore? Were you able to go explore, or was it all dealing with what you went up there for?
It was mostly dealing with what I went up there for. Mm-hmm. I did do a little exploring. A part of the itinerary was to go to an art walk where they have on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And it's basically like a pop-up where they have the vendors, and then they have live music and people just out vibing and stuff. It's kind of at their city hall.
She fell in her quinceañera dress.
She did.
Very interesting.
They're so cute.
Yeah. This is the thing out in Texas that I'm not used to. I'm like, what is happening? And it's like, oh, it's a quinceañera. What is, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's becoming a woman. She's 15.
Yes. Yeah. A mark of womanhood.
Okay. Hey, do your thing, man. That's your culture.
Look. Right. Yeah. 21 is like, are you sure that I'm.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how I see it. I'm like,
all right,
you putting so much pressure on this little girl right here. But hey, that's what you do. Do your continue.
Float your boat.
You're right.
Toot your horn. You know.
Toot toot. But yes.
Okay. So yeah. So I did that, and that was cool. It was a nice experience because Fairfield, Iowa, is actually considered a blue zone. Blue zones are like basically places in the world that where majority of people are happy.
That's what that means?
Yes.
Blue is calming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that until I got there. Fairfield is considered a blue zone, but also the school is in Fairfield, and because so many people, like, it's required for so many people to practice TM, the Transcendental Meditation.
Oh.
Like, it's just when people go, when they work there or they go to school there, a lot of people end up staying there.
Yeah.
And so the community is thick with meditators. And Ooh. So it was a really, like, you know, you kind of on edge because you're in the Midwest. And, you know, it's not a lot of us out there.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
But it was really, like, the people that I met and encountered, they were really, like, welcoming and warm. And they felt, it felt, like, real genuine. Now, could I see myself out there? I actually
had to break it down. Like, could I?
You know, on campus, it felt like a second home.
Yeah.
Because they had like this thing. I'm into astrology too. So they had this little dial kind of thing where
a sundial type of thing?
Yes.
Yes.
In front of the school. And so they had like little pieces that had like geometry where they're talking about the connections of the sun on here. Yeah. And then I was just so intrigued.
Right there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, could I do this like every day? I was like, yeah, this is like the going on campus in my mind at the time was the only way that I would be able to actually succeed.
This campus sounds like it has mushrooms on hand. Like that's like all this is like, oh, you coming in to this? Hey, you want these caps? Oh, you good? Okay, come on in then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it was giving, you know.
Oh,
but,
okay.
So it was giving that, but I think because. So when you practice TM consistently, you feel like you're on this type of high.
Yeah.
And I would contribute that to the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you really dedicate yourself to this practice, you're going to feel like you're on cloud nine.
Yeah, that's
like,
what they say. That's definitely what they say.
Yeah.
I have yet to get there, but I have taken the back door, the secret route to get there. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I definitely understand. Definitely understand. I haven't been able just to sit down long enough to actually have that happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had those little magic mushrooms that come from the ground. It's like, oh, this is where it's at. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the door.
And I feel like that's actually a bit heightened.
Yeah.
It gives you a little bit more.
Oh, definitely.
And insight.
Definitely. I've been some places. Like, I'm a big, I've told people this before, mm-hmm. but I'm a big component of LSD. And so, like,
okay.
But I'm not a person that recreationally uses LSD. I'm a set and setting type of person.
Okay.
Basically,
intentional.
I have to be at home. I have to have the house clean.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, and then I have to either be around somebody that understands
mm-hmm.
or somebody that is caring or by myself.
Yeah.
And then, like, I go deep. Mm-hmm. I get, like, I try to find myself within myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you know, like a mirror image.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've been some places, you
okay.
know, to where it's just like, oh, and I have a different outlook on life
mm-hmm.
now. And mm-hmm. so it's rare that I do this now just because I understand what it is.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, I was just like, oh, yeah, then we're going out and having fun. And now I realize I'm like, oh, this ain't something to just have fun on like this. No, I don't understand how people can just be like, yeah, party. Ooh, the colors. No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I sit down and like when you talk about consciousness, especially
mm-hmm.
when you brought that up to me on the phone, you was just like, yeah, this is what I'm going to school for. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, what? Like before my baby was born, that was the thing that I thought about. I was
mm-hmm.
like, so is life consciousness? And then it blew my mind because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know where to go
mm-hmm.
from there. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know how to think about this. You know, when it comes to conception, is that the first time of consciousness or is
mm-hmm.
consciousness life? And where's the universe coming
mm-hmm.
in at this? And
mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave
mm-hmm.
this alone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a deep, deep, deep dive.
Yeah.
Once you get there, though, it's like, oh, okay. It's actually not that. I mean, it is deep, but it's not that.
It's not that deep?
Yeah. It's just like consciousness is the source of creation.
Yeah.
So when you like, when you meditate and you allow your mind to go still, you are more like, you allow that consciousness to rise up and you allow the integration to happen with your conscious and unconscious, subconscious.
Yeah.
So, and everything ripples from the source of creation.
Yeah.
Which we don't really know. Like, they have the quantum physics, and this is something that I've learned over the past semester. They have the quantum physics, but quantum physics only goes so deep to where it's like, oh, well, there's nothing else. It's just, it just is.
Yeah.
There's no explaining this. It just is. So that's.
Goodness.
Essentially, you know, that's what life is. Life just is.
Yeah, life just is. Going deep like that, I've lost myself mm-hmm. into space and time, into where like what is this and why do we do it?
Mm-hmm.
And like
mm-hmm.
for what reason are we here?
Yeah.
And what is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And usually I'm a universal person, so when it comes to like, I'm like, oh, the universe is gonna provide. You just go on your path that you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so I understand. I can't stop this.
Mm-hmm.
This has
mm-hmm.
to continue. Where does it go from there? I don't know.
Right.
But I have to keep it up.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, it'll all work itself out like mm-hmm. it's supposed to. You're going to be the person that you're supposed to be.
Yep.
But you can't give up.
That part.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, all right. So 4 years in, I'm still like, what do I, sometimes I ask myself, especially mm-hmm. when I come to this podcast, especially when I'm by myself,
mm-hmm.
I ask myself, what do I do this for and who do I do it for mm-hmm. and why mm-hmm. do I do it?
Yeah.
And usually for these type of conversations here, this is a reason why, like, it also gets out to other people to where it's just like, oh, okay, because it's a learning experience, but it's also informative to people that are on the same path,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so to be on this path of like, I don't know what the outcome is.
Yeah.
It's just like mm-hmm. this can encourage other people to keep going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Just follow what you feel in your spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
It's so difficult.
It's very difficult.
It's so difficult. Don't nobody tell you what to do or how to do it. It's just like, boom. And, you know, meditation is key. You know, depending on however you meditate. How do you meditate?
So the TM technique is basically
you have a mantra?
Sitting in...
Yes.
You have a unique mantra, and you sit in silence, and mm-hmm. you kind of ease into it. You start repeating the mantra. You don't force yourself to not think. You allow the thoughts to flow. When you realize that you've gotten away from the mantra and more into your thoughts,
right?
You just gently lean back into the mantra.
Okay.
And so you do that for 20 minutes. In silence, no sound, no nothing, no distractions, and but also without attaching to the mantra.
Yes.
So just
mm-hmm. now see that mm-hmm. that there attaching to the mantra
mm-hmm.
in my it. How long would you say it would take you to detach from the mantra? Because mm-hmm. that is in my head. I try to. My thing is, I understand that y'all keep y'all mantra because it's sacred mm-hmm, or whatnot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think of pink clicks. Like whenever I think of trying to detach from everything else, mm-hmm. I tell myself pink click, pink click, pink click. And mm-hmm. at that, but I can't get to the point to where I detach
from that. Okay. So I've been observing, like the process more like intentionally lately. And,
yes.
When I realized that instead of the mantra being at the forefront of my mind, like saying it, I just allow it to express itself in the back of my mind, if that makes sense. Like instead of saying, okay, so verbally, pin clicks. So instead of saying it, think it. And then instead of thinking it, just allowing it to be.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. If
that hurt my head just now.
Like, that's the best way that I can describe you.
Like,
and it just kind of floats, you know?
Yeah.
Like you like so not attaching to it means not holding on to it, just breathing and being with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
It's really like a muscle. You just have to. When you allow it to to just be like you're saying it and you're relaxing with it, it just kind of floats to the back of your head. And then you'll still hear it, but it just fades over time. And then that's when you realize that you're not holding on to it. So holding on to it is like trying to keep it at the forefront of your mind. And that's the key, is to allow it to fade away so that you can go deeper into your subconscious.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think I've gotten to certain places. Like my wife, she's had she did a home birth, and she went to hypnobirthing classes. Mm. And so we both went to hypnobirthing classes. Mm-hmm. It was like three classes. The last one's one of them was way too long, and but it was still a good time. She's not into meditation, but the key to their class that they have is meditation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the things, like, I'm like, hypnobirthing, why, you know, you gonna hypnotize her or something like that. It's not hypnosis, but it is getting in the mindset of, like, your body is gonna do what your body is gonna do. To have your own little mantra and to go through, you know, the motions. Yeah. And so when it came to actual meditation in that class, I was like, oh, I got this, you know. I was able to get to that, because I do, from time to time, I do meditate. I do know how to.
Yeah.
But that got me into a little deeper meditation, which it probably would have helped my wife a little bit more. But she was like, no, I got this. And so she was a trooper when she pushed that baby out. Yeah. I was like, whoa, okay.
I'm going to do it my way, okay? Yeah. What y'all talk about is not.
And just not having to go to the doctors and, you know, not what I see on TV. To have an actual child, I was like, this is amazing.
Yes.
Because what I was taught and what I know is you need these white suits, these white lab coats to be around. And all we had was a doula and a midwife, you know. And I'm like, we don't need nothing else. Mm-mm. We don't need no stethoscope or nothing like that. This is, I mean, she had her own little stethoscope and shit, but
the white coat wouldn't have.
Nah, you didn't have none of that. Yeah. I'm like, I'm in my kitchen. So, you know, I'm like, this is amazing. Mm. Just the things that you learn as you get older.
Yeah.
And to be able to tap into that, I would say, with meditation, because that was their key.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is okay, universe. Mm-hmm. Keep talking to me.
Yes.
Like, I didn't know that it was going to lead. I didn't know that where life was going to lead me until it led me to where it was.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is, I'm being guided down my path that I'm supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep going.
Keep going. And I'm like,
Oh, you teach me a lot today, Nicole. I love it.
No, you teach yourself.
Okay, sure. Let's put it that way too. This is awesome. It feels so good.
I love it. I love that you are you have information and knowledge of TM also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's not like a foreign thing. It's just like, you know, like, oh, okay, so this is what I heard, and then, you know, putting the pieces together. So that's why I say you're teaching yourself. You already, you
okay,
know,
I feel that.
You know,
because I'm a big podcaster, I've heard a lot about this as well, and especially from other people. And like I've said, this is like my guideline to chasing the dream. And this is how I started off, by listening to podcasts. So that's what gave me more information to go the route that I'm going now. And so this, you can actually give more information to other people if they're also taking the same route as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this is very helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very. Yes.
I love it. I love it. So how long is your, how long do you, are you in this school for?
So remember I was saying, like, you know, I knew that going on campus was the best way for me.
Yeah.
Cause you know, campus, on campus versus online, two different types of lives.
I can imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be able to focus.
Right.
Online, it's a lot extra happening.
Oh.
So I signed up for, last semester I took 5 classes. This semester I had 8 classes. Ooh. And then the fall semester I was going to have maybe 5 or 6 classes, and then I was going to be done.
Okay.
Last semester, it showed me, like, okay, you can do it. It's a struggle, but you can do it.
Yeah.
And I made it by a tiny hair on my chin. Yeah. I made it. I passed all my classes. And then I came into this. But I ended very exhausted.
Yeah.
It took a lot out of me to sit down and focus because my life is very just fun and fancy free ish. So like I had started a new job at the end of the semester and I was doing a new class and it was just a lot like happening. And so it took a lot out of me to just sit and focus and do the things. And so going into this semester, I was like, okay, I can do it. You know, I can, you know, just sit down and do the things just like you did at the end of the semester. That's not how my mind works, you know? Like, I don't like working under pressure, but sometimes I need to work under pressure. And I don't like being pressured.
Yeah.
So
I feel that.
So, all that to say, I don't know how long this is going to take.
Okay. So
I've had
it has an infinite just... It,
you know, so what I'm learning about myself while taking the classes is that... learning about consciousness is something that I am very intrigued in, like just in a need to know type of state. But I'm also more of an experiential learner. Like I like to learn based on life things and on my timing. So online is very flexible. Not as flexible as...
Yeah.
As my physiology
right.
needs it to be. So I'm just learning, like, okay, picking the classes that I know I am already engaged in in my daily life. So like I have a yoga asanas class that's coming up. I'm gonna take that one. It's basically about the yoga postures and going into theory behind.
Are you gonna become a yogi?
So I'm already a yogi.
Okay.
No, okay. So, no,
that's
okay.
That's what's up.
No, okay. Yeah. So a yogi is basically someone that is committed to the living the life of like doing yoga, not just the asanas, but like the part of like there's eight limbs of yoga. So engaging your life in all of those limbs, like do no harm, and it's other things. I can't remember them right now. But it's like dedicating your life to that. Kind of like I would say kind of like a religion, but more on a spiritual basis.
Mm-hmm.
And incorporating all of that in your life. So if you are practicing yoga, even if you're not like practicing it daily, if you're doing it like on a basis where you just it's just in the back of your mind to do it, or if you're meditating, or I feel like then you are a yogi. It's just different routes to and different like expressions of a yogi. Yeah. So
whew. We got deep today. I love it. There's so many things I didn't know and just you are immersed into that area, so it's just like good.
Yeah
good.
Yeah, it's been my life for I got into meditation and yoga back in 2017.
I remember quite some time.
Yeah, I had like somewhat of a midlife crisis, nervous breakdown. I don't know. I was just like over everything, the job, the boyfriend. Like it was just the life. It was just, this is not how I want my life to be.
Yeah.
So I'm going to exit stage left from everything. Of course, in baby steps, right? So when I quit my job, I just found myself needing to be outside and being in my own energy. And
right.
That's when I started doing meditation and learning more about that. And then I started realizing I need to move my body. So that's when I started doing yoga more.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of evolved. I've taken like long stints from actually practicing yoga and just like going about life.
Yeah.
But it's always been like a part of who I am.
Yeah.
and like coming back into that this year was like a rededication to like what really like fuels my fire and helps me to stay grounded and centered in like who I am at the core. And so, yeah, it is my life. I can't say I did get my,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I did get my certification in comedic yoga, teaching, back in when the pandemic happened, 2020. But I wasn't ready to teach. So I've kind of detached from the, okay, what are you going to do with this? And just, like kind of leaned into this is what I need to do for me right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm open to see where it takes me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's what I, see.
Yeah.
All about chasing that dream. You know, everybody, it's always one thing when people come on, it's like, oh, this is another poet. We're going to talk about poetry. And then it's like, nah, I want to know about this. Mm-hmm. This is very intriguing to me because everybody has their own path.
Yeah.
Everybody takes their own little, their own little way, you know? So, you know, poetry is just what got us to meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
But like the other things that it's very intriguing is like the other paths that you can take, you know, or that helps you to get to where you need to go.
Yeah.
And so this is what this is about, and I love it. And you know, and it's like you always think you're gonna be talking about one thing, and it never ends up like that.
Look, talk about everything.
Yes, hell yeah! Last time I was here with Nine the Poet, we talked about wrestling, and look. I was like, yo, I ain't watched wrestling
WWE?
Since high school. Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. He went down the rabbit hole, and I was like,
wow.
What? I didn't know. That's what they doing now? That's how it's happening?
Oh.
Hell yeah. All right. So, good. I'm glad we got here. Now, I like to play a game of choices before, just to break up the monotony of everything.
Okay.
Before we get out of here. And with the people that come on for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game of choices. You got four options and four choices. Okay. All right. You got to be one. You got to raise one. You got to sell one. And you got to have relations with the other one. Okay, be one of them, raise one of them, sell one of them, and have relations with the other one.
Okay.
Okay.
Be one, sell one.
Raise one.
Raise one.
Relations with the other.
With, okay.
Yes. And now you got, and your choices are a mermaid, a magwai.
Who?
A magwai.
Magwai.
Magwai is gremlin. Have you seen Gremlins?
Yes.
The movie Gremlins? You know, Gizmo? Gizmo is the magwai form before it becomes a gremlin.
Okay.
You got a mermaid, a magwai, a Mexican, and a manatee. Okay? Those are your choices. Be one, raise one, sell one, relations with the other one. Yes. I see you thinking. Yes.
Okay, so immediately be a mermaid.
Yeah.
Then it's raise one, sell one, and hold on. Let's go back. Because the other option was manatee, the magwai, and what is the other one?
Mexican. Manatee, magwai, mermaid, Mexican.
Okay, so we're gonna have relations with the Mexican.
Okay.
raise one. I'll raise a magwai, and I'm going to sell a manatee.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Put them on a black market. They're endangered. Yeah, we get money.
Nothing endangered. Yeah. I didn't know that. No offense.
I think they're good now. They're good now. You may be all right.
Please breed them. Bring them back to the world. We need them.
Oh,
actually, I don't know. You know, when things go endangered, maybe that's the end of their life.
Yeah, like, say the dodo bird, you know? Kiwis.
Do we actually need them anymore?
No, dodo birds were dumb. You definitely don't need those anymore. It's nice to look at, but, you know, it's like, well, it's your own fault. You're not here no more. Okay?
Survival of the fittest.
Yes. Wow. Well, Nicole, let everybody know where they can find you at.
You can find me at IG at Being Nicosia, BEINGNICOSIA. On any given day, I'll be at a Black Swan Yoga location if you're in Houston.
Mm.
And yeah, across social media, it's being Nekosha. So if you want to find my old tweets on Twitter, being Nekosha. If you want to find me on TikTok, I'm not really on there, but I got some old little things on there, being Nekosha. Yeah. So wherever.
That's it. Trying to cover the board. We'll do the TikToks, but it's not like we like it. Oh, right. Yes. Well, man, this has been Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I've been your host of Maniacal Minutes. Kyle Smith said the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And until next time, man, keep dreaming, Jokers.